Do we inadvertently discourage and disable our children?
As parents, we want to know how to take our family to the next level.
Where our children choose into excellence.
Where poor behaviors melt away naturally.
And where our connection to each other is rich and beautiful.
We are Kent and Amy Bowler, and our purpose is to help you achieve just that.
This is where joy lives.
Welcome to Revolutionary Families.
I think the answer is yes.
Dang it.
I know. I inadvertently, though, not on purpose. And that's what we want to talk about today, is how do we not do that as much? How can we reverse that tendency? So I was, thinking of a story that happened just this week with one of our grandsons. He's 3 years old, and he has two older brothers and one younger brother. So he has a brother who's 5 and a brother who's 6 and a younger brother who's 1.5 years. So they were having a brotherly squabble, which with this particular little guy usually ends up in some physical violence. I think he had a death grip on his older brother. Usually you see him tackling one of his brothers, usually the older brothers. Or squeezing them by the neck, you know, something like that. He's just trying to get the toy or get his way or something. This is very normal actions for a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And then his mom, who is amazing, is trying to prevent physical violence with her children. Excellent job. Part of our job as moms, especially with moms with young children. And so she asks a simple question to her son. What she asks is, do we use our muscles or do we use our words?
His response immediately was,
we use our muscles.
We use our muscles.
And this is mid-death grip. He's like on the death grip. And he keeps the death grip strong as he answers his mom, muscles. He's kind of mad because he's holding this death grip. We use muscles. And his mom and I, it was all we could do to not burst out laughing because he was so serious that we use our muscles. And he's like, look at me. I'm using my muscles. Pretty soon I'm going to get this toy away from my brother. And I love this story. And his mom got to continually, she had a chance to then teach him, it's better if we use our words, and teaching him about that. After she might have had to extract a son away from the death grip. But this is a principle that his mom needed to, because he's only 3 years old, she needs to teach him. He doesn't really know. He hasn't quite learned that words are better than muscles in getting what you want. And it's going to take him a little while longer of listening to his mom and watching his older brothers learn to use their words instead of their muscles, and seeing his parents not solve problems by punching people or using physical force.
Right.
So he's at an age where when he's making a mistake, he needs help and correction, and he needs a whole lot of teaching.
Right. And then what happens to us as parents is we sometimes get stuck in that mode. As our children grow older, that's the mode that we've been in as they're very young. They need lots of instruction. They need that understanding and knowledge. And so we're teaching them those things. But then they get older and they get smarter and they learn and they grow. And then as they make mistakes or having those kinds of challenges, we automatically assume that what's causing the issue now is the same as before. It's a lack of knowledge. And so we immediately move to instructing again, teaching again.
Correcting.
Sometimes that feels like a scolding or comes across as a scolding.
Or a lecture.
Depending on how we tend to act as parents and where our emotional state is.
And our older children and teenagers, often that's more damaging than helpful. It can be actually discouraging and disabling.
Yes.
And to older children. Now, does the toddler love it? Probably not. But we have to teach them. We can't run out to the street. Do you see how a car just drove by? It might hit you. They literally need that. And do teenagers need that instruction for some things? Yes. We're not going to let you stay out till midnight.
when you're 12 years old, going somewhere with your other 12-year-old friend. That's a boundary. We're not going to let you do that. And let me explain to you why.
Right.
But when you have a 17-year-old, you don't need to tell them those same things as far as knowledge goes.
Right. So last night we experienced this in our home with our family. We wanted to have some family time together. There were a couple of videos that we wanted to watch, one that extended family had put together and then another one for the season. And we were excited about spending this quality family time together, just sitting together on the couch and watching these videos. And one daughter didn't want to come up. She was
frustrated.
Yeah, she was frustrated. And so we invited her to come up. I invited her to come up and she declined. And then Amy invited her to come up and she declined again. And then we left it at that.
Yeah, I think you mentioned just briefly to her that you understood she was frustrated, but you thought that she would feel better if she came and joined us.
She would feel better if she came up and joined us. Yeah, I knew that she was frustrated and feeling a little glum, a little down. And said, you know, if you come up, try it and see if you feel better. If you don't feel better, you can go back down to your room.
Yeah, yeah.
But she chose just to stay in her room.
She did. She did. And as she was going to bed, we had a good talk and then she went to bed. And then a little bit later that night, as I was going to sleep, I got a sweet, sweet text from her. I'm so sorry, Mom. I made a really bad choice. I was selfish and stubborn by staying downstairs. And I so wish I had come upstairs. I'm super, super sorry. And I was so grateful that in that moment, and in that instance, we hadn't pushed her, we hadn't forced her to come up, and we hadn't spent a lot of time berating her, scolding her, criticizing her choice.
Trying to teach her what the right way was.
Right. That wasn't what she needed. She learned the most amazing lesson by feeling what it felt like to miss out on the family time and to know, oh my goodness, I made the wrong choice. Ah! So much more motivating and empowering than if it had been coming from us. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a 12-year-old, and so she's older, and she wasn't hurting anybody. She wasn't hurting the family. She wasn't saying mean things. She was just choosing to be sad in her room. And that was it. Yes, we were sad that we missed her company, but right. It was her choice. As parents, we want to help them make the right choices all the time. I want them to make the right choices, but they don't. We were listening to a talk by a family therapist, Dr. John Lund, and he talked about how our children often don't lack knowledge. They lack motivation. And he gave this analogy of a sponge and how if you take just like a kitchen sponge, we can squeeze it with our hands and it will go into a shape that we want it to go into. We can make the sponge go into like a ball. But if we let go, that sponge is going to go right back to that rectangle shape that it was in. And that's just like our children. We can really convince them. We can
manipulate, coerce.
Yeah. Just
push even, really hard.
Even strongly reward them to act certain ways. And as long as we are applying that pressure, they'll act that way. But as soon as we stop that and they grow up and are on their own, it's going to go back unless they have learned these lessons internally, unless it's become a part of them. That's what we're really going for. We want to encourage and enable our children to act for themselves and to take ownership of their lives.
Right. So when we don't allow them to make their own choices in the proper situations, in the proper context, as they move along that continuum and grow and progress, when we don't let them make those choices, that is disabling because now they're not making their own choices. They're just squished up in that sponge and they're doing what they think is the right thing.
Or they're just keeping the peace and following what we said to do because then they don't have to hear our talking about how they're not making the right choice.
Right. But then they're not learning it for themselves.
Yeah.
So I remember growing up that I had a mentor figure that I was engaged with quite a bit. And whenever I made a mistake, the response from that person always was almost always the same. And that was the automatic assumption that I had blown it, that I had made a mistake, that I was lacking knowledge. And this is in my teenage years, older years. And so the response that I received each time was a really long lecture. And man, I just came out of that feeling discouraged, feeling like I was worthless.
The word you told me is incompetent.
Incompetent. Thank you. Yeah. feeling incompetent because every time I made a mistake, I was lectured, scolded, if you will, because the assumption on the other end was that I was lacking knowledge. It wasn't necessarily always that I was lacking knowledge. Lots of times it's because I was lacking inspiration. And so because I was assumed to be deficient in knowledge, I was given more knowledge. But that assumption that I was deficient in knowledge led to the conclusion in my mind that I was incompetent.
Yeah. And that really ultimately sucked out of you the desire to do anything that person was wanting you to do.
Yeah.
It actually had the opposite effect. And we see this in our children. You know, we see, especially teenagers, there's almost more rebellion when it's just so much pushing and instead remembering that our children are geniuses and that they need our love and our inspiration and our belief in them rather than the negativity and the lecturing and the scolding and the criticism. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need to say something when they've crossed a boundary. Very simply, I noticed that you came in too late last night. You know, you came in later than your curfew last night.
The way Amy's doing this is perfect, right? She's not carrying emotional baggage. She's not bringing in judgment.
It's very easy, by the way, when it's a hypothetical situation. I noticed that you did this. And that our agreement was that you were going to come home at 11 and you were going to pick up your sister and do this with the car. And instead, you did this. Is that true? You know, clarifying, making sure. And then, you know, as a result, I had to do this and I had to do this. You know, what's the natural consequence? We just talk about what the consequences should be. So, yes, there are still going to be consequences and maybe even sometimes a little bit of a teaching, perhaps in that situation, helping them see you could have done this, but super brief as you can be.
Right. And what's really cool about that is that as we do that, as we trust our children by not going automatically to the instruction or the scolding or the lecture, is that it teaches them that even though they're still making mistakes, we trust them to learn from their own mistakes.
Yeah.
We trust them to be adults. We trust them to be big people. And so it is inherently encouraging.
Right.
To them.
So when our children make mistakes, because they will, and when they make that mistake, we, in that instance, and I wish we had some kind of a pause button where we can stop the action and allow us as parents to ponder and consider before things go on. But usually when a mistake is made, with that come emotions, because as parents, we can see that there are consequences to every action. And when there's mistakes, there's negative consequences, just natural things that happen. When cars crash into each other, people can get hurt, property damage. You know, there's natural things that happen. So when they make a mistake, we try to ask ourselves, are they lacking knowledge? Is there something in this situation that they need to learn? Is there a principle that they don't quite understand? Is there a cause and effect that I do need to teach them?
And sometimes if the answer to that question is yes, then we take note of that and we determine to teach that later at a different point in time when we're not carrying that emotional charge from that current situation.
Yes.
We take note of it and we teach it later. Uh-huh. And then it's effective.
Yeah.
More effective. And if needed, we do the gentle reminder at that moment, in that teaching moment.
Right. And then we ask if they are lacking knowledge. And then also ask if they're lacking something else. Are they lacking feeling of, do they need to feel our love? Do they need to feel motivation to act in the right way? And asking ourselves those questions, how can I best help my child moving forward? How is this situation? How can I act in this situation to help them for their life? More for the long term, not just, I don't want them to be late anymore. Just looking at the long term, how am I going to help them to become the people they need to be?
What can I do to let them know that we understand that we expect to make mistakes, that I still make mistakes, and that it's just part of life. And we learn from it. We stay motivated. We stay engaged. We keep learning and we keep moving forward. And so whatever that situation is, we still love them. We still trust them and we keep moving forward.
Yeah. Awesome. And in that way, we're encouraging and enabling our children to become these amazing adults who are going to make an impact for good in the world.
Yeah.
Because they feel capable and they
feel competent.
Yes, competent.
They know that they can motivate themselves to do what they need to do.
Yeah, empowered to take actions and even to make mistakes, that it's okay that they can do that.
To be willing to try something different, because if they fail, they know they can pick themselves back up and try something else, and it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah, so thanks for being with us today. We loved being with you.
Yeah, we love you. We care for you. We're in this with you.
Yes, yes.
We would love to have you join us in our Facebook group, where we fight for families, where we have great discussions. And you can find that at facebook.com/groups/revolutionaryfamilies.forum. Request to join and we'll get you in there. Be part of that group.
Awesome. And don't forget to trust that God trusts you.